Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgannon. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgannon. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter, at GoForItGant. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow, at GoForItGant. I follow back. Big show lined up for you today. Expect to be joined by one of the stars of AMC's The Killing. And I know the show recently was canceled, but he is one of the stars of that show. We're going to bring in actor Eric Layden. And Eric, big-time Lakers fan. Big-time USC fan, and a lot of great things is happening for the Lakers and USC. I mean, USC football ranked number one in the country in the AP poll, which is a great thing if you're a USC fan, a great thing if you're a USC fan, and Eric Layden is that. Also, the Los Angeles Lakers, they got Steve Nash, they got Dwight Howard, and somehow, some way, they did not have to part with Pau Gasol. So if you're Eric Layden, this is a great time to be a sports fan. Everything good that could happen is happening for Eric Layden, happening with his Los Angeles Lakers, happening with his USC Fighting Trojans. It's a great time to be Eric Layden. I wish I was Eric Layden right now. I really do. I mean, he has everything right now. Everything is going well for Eric Layden. Brother wishes he was Eric Layden right now. But anyway, we're going to bring in Eric Layden. We're going to talk about The Killing, talk about USC football, talk about his beloved Los Angeles Lakers team. And I'm going to start now. Last night in the NFL, great, great lineup of preseason football. Lots of preseason football to talk about last night. And I want to start in Kansas City. Interesting quarterback battle with the Seattle Seahawks. You know they brought in Matt Flynn out of Green Bay, from Green Bay. 3 years, $26 million, $10 million, which was guaranteed. They brought him from Green Bay to obviously be the starter. You have the incumbent Tavares Jackson, who is already there. And then you have the rookie draft pick, the rookie phenom, third rounder out of Wisconsin, Russell Wilson. And Russell Williams is balling this preseason, has been balling this preseason. 185 yards last night for Russell Wilson, two touchdowns. He's balling. He's balling, and he scrambled for another 58 yards. And this is the third preseason game. The third preseason game is the dress rehearsal. It's the dress rehearsal. So you can take a lot from the third preseason game. More so, you can take from preseason game number 1, 2, and 4. But again, Russell Wilson has been balling. Third-round draft pick. And he was able to get the start in the third game of the preseason. So that tells you something. That tells you that Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks are very high on this guy. They believe that this guy can get it done. They obviously believe this guy can get it done. Obviously. And right now, Russell Wilson has been getting it done this preseason. You would assume after that performance in game number 3 of the preseason, you would assume after the way he's been playing throughout the course of this preseason that when live bullets start firing, that he will be the starter. When it gets live, when it gets real, in about a week, about a couple weeks, when it gets real in a couple weeks, when it gets real in a couple weeks, Russell Wilson probably be the starter. He probably will be the starter. And that's a big surprise. Because you figure you give Matt Flynn all that money, 3 years, $26 million, 10, which is guaranteed. You give him all that money. You do that with the assumption that he is probably going to be the starter. But Russell Wilson, like I said before, has came in and has just put in work. He's put in work. Big-time work for Seattle. Big-time work. And he got it done. He's been getting it done. Been getting it done. So more likely, I mean, just judging by the way things are looking, Russell Wilson will be the opening day starter in Seattle. Russell Wilson will be the opening day starter in Seattle. And we're just taking that off of what we see in terms of him starting that third preseason game, and not only starting that third preseason game, but playing very well in that third preseason game. Playing well. And he played well last night. He played well. So I guess we have a quarterback controversy in Seattle. Matt Flynn making all that money. He may be holding the clipboard come week one. He may be holding the clipboard come week one. And it's looking more and more like that. That he will be holding the clipboard week one because Russell Wilson has been balling. Also, in that particular game, Terrell Owens, T.O., who is trying to make a comeback with the Seattle Seahawks, in that particular game, he had more drops. More drops in that game. And he's had the drops he so far in this preseason. Did make a spectacular 40-yard catch, though. He did make a nice catch, a nice 40-yard catch along the sideline. Nice catch. Adjusted well on the route and everything. Did well on that catch. I mean, it was T.O. that we all know, knew and love, I should say. It was the T.O. we all knew and love. I mean, right now, T.O.'s in a battle for a roster spot with the Seahawks. You bring in a Braylon Edwards, who's been balling so far in this preseason, been getting it done so far in this preseason for the Seattle Seahawks. Braylon Edwards has been playing well. And because of his play, because of the way Braylon Edwards has been playing for the Seattle Seahawks, he could take T.O.'s job. He could take T.O.'s job. He could be the guy that takes T.O.'s job. And it's been presumed that those guys are fighting for that final spot. Braylon Edwards caught one pass last night, 32 yards. But he's been playing well in this preseason. Been playing very well. So T.O.'s battling for a spot in Seattle. I'm rooting for T.O. I mean, I've said that before, and I'm going to reiterate that. I'm rooting for T.O. I really am rooting for T.O. I really want this guy to get back on our NFL roster. I really want him to prove that he truly is humble and hungry, as Pete Carroll would say. I want him to go out and prove that he really is humble and hungry. I want him to show the world that he is humble and hungry, and that he's going to battle and he's going to fight and he's going to get back on an NFL roster and he's going to prove that he belonged on an NFL roster last season. The last time we saw T.O. Cincinnati Bengals, T.O. was impressive for the most part, close to 1,000 yards receiving with Cincinnati. That was 2 years ago. Granted, he's a little older now. And he's coming off a major knee injury, a major ACL injury. So we'll see what T.O. has. We'll see what T.O. can be in Seattle. And we'll see if he even makes the roster, because like I said before, one of the guys that he's battling for that spot, Braylon Edwards, has been playing well. Getting it done. Has been getting it done for Seattle in this preseason. He really has. We'll see if T.O. can keep his job. Keep his job. We'll see if he can keep his job. And like I said before, especially a guy with the money problems that he's had, over the years, or over this year, I should say, you hope that he can get on a roster, take care of his money problems. You hope. You really hope for T.O.'s sake. And, I mean, you know, he's had some child support issues as well. You hope that T.O. can. I mean, him and Braylon Edwards are on the bubble. They're both on the bubble. And the talk is they're going to keep one of the two. So which one? Is it Braylon? Is it T.O.? We'll see. And I think if you know, minus production in terms of the preseason, it is the preseason. And Braylon Edwards, I said he was balling, but looking at his numbers, he really hasn't been blowing up the way I thought he has. But he's been relatively quiet as well. But looking at those two, if I'm going to look at those two, in terms of who do I think, and this is just projecting, who do I think would give you better numbers and would be the better player for your ball club? You know T.O.'s reputation. We know T.O.'s reputation. We know the things that he has done over the years. Ask Jeff Garcia, ask Donovan McNabb, ask the Philadelphia Eagles organization. You can ask a lot of people about T.O. We all know what T.O. has been through. We all know what T.O. has done. We all know. But sometimes going broke, sometimes things in life humble us to a point where we decide, you know what, it's time to straighten up and fly right and do the right things. And there's been some chatter about T.O. in terms of him still demonstrating or showing some me first stuff. We don't know how true all that stuff truly is, but to me, T.O., in my mind, I can't see him doing that again. I mean, obviously you can see it because he has a history of it. I mean, that's the obvious part, because he has the history. But as far as I'm concerned, I look at T.O., I look at his financial situation, and I say to myself, that in my mind is going to bring out the hungry and the humble side of T.O. It has to. And if it doesn't, then I don't know what can. I don't know what will bring out the humble and hungry side of T.O. If having financial issues, if that's not going to change you a little bit, if having financial issues is not going to change you a little bit, then I don't know what will. I really don't know what will. But I do know one thing. T.O., last time he had an opportunity with Cincinnati, balled. He got it done. So, he's fighting for a spot now. he's fighting for a spot. And taken from an article from Eric Williams of the Tacoma News Tribune in Seattle, he has a lot to overcome, writes Williams, and the fact that he's finished without catching a catch without a catch and a bad drop against Denver is just scratching the surface. He still appears to be the same T.O. who complains when things are not going his way. So is he the same guy? Is he the same guy? And, again, this is what Eric Williams of the Tacoma News Tribune reports. This is what he reports. He still appears to be the same T.O. who complains when things are not going his way. Seems to be the same T.O. who complains when things are not going his way. That is the same T.O. That is the same T.O. that we all know and some hate and some love. But that is that guy. And reports are, like I said, Braylon Edwards has been outplaying T.O. and has been the most consistent between the two. Hopefully T.O. can get another chance and get back on with the Seahawks. And if it doesn't work out with the Seahawks, you wonder if it's going to work out anywhere. I mean, the Jets always could use a wide receiver. I mean, there are teams that could use wide receivers. There are teams that have issues at the wide receiver spot, the wide receiver position. So there are teams, theoretically, you think that would benefit or at least would want a T.O. But if he's still demonstrating and exhibiting some of the old T.O., Dallas, I mean, theoretically, you could say they could use a wide receiver. Some of their wide receivers are banged up. You doubt if I doubt if Jerry Jones goes back down that road again. But you never know. You never know. Like I said, the Jets, they could use one. I mean, there are teams out here who could use wideouts, who could use some players, you know. But will they? That's the thing. And that's the big thing. Will they say this guy, is he worth it? Is he worth it? I know I use this analogy all the time, but it's T.O., these Chad Johnsons, the Allen Iversons of the world. Just like a female is cute, who gets fat and old and ugly and so on and so forth, people are not going to deal with that attitude. You're a female with a bad attitude, but you're cute, people are going to deal with it. But you're a female who has a bad attitude, but not as cute as they once were, people are not going to deal with it. And these guys are running into that, running into just that. Like I said before, I'm hoping that T.O. gets another opportunity. That's my hope. That's my hope. I'm hoping that somebody will decide to give him another opportunity. And Seattle has given him the opportunity, and I just hope he makes the best of it and the most of it. You hope. You hope. You hope. In a big game today, actually, the top two draft picks in this year's NFL draft, RG3, Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck, they're getting it on today. Big preseason battle. I mean, a lot of buzz about this game. Two of the top picks, obviously, in the draft, this year's draft, and two guys that many believe will be very, very successful players and very successful quarterbacks in this league, RG3 and Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has looked very impressive in this preseason, very impressive in this preseason, and Robert Griffin III, so-so. Not awful, but not. I think Andrew Luck, thus far to this point, has looked better. Who will be better when it's all said and done? Andrew Luck looks special. I mean, he really looks special. He looks like a very special football player. I mean, the hype, I think, seems to be very real with this guy. The hype is warranted with this guy. And thus far, what we see in the preseason, a guy with a lot of moxie, a guy with a lot of ability. He can move as well. He can scramble a little bit. Obviously, he can throw the football. I think the Colts have themselves another franchise quarterback. RG3, at this point, hasn't been eye-popping thus far. But again, it is the preseason. Again, he's still only played two games in his career, and these are preseason games. Still, he's young. And obviously, he has a lot of ability. Obviously, he has a lot of talent as well. But I would say, if you put a gun to my head today, guns to my head right now, and you asked me who was going to have the better career, I'd have to say Andrew Luck. I have to say Andrew Luck. The hype is warranted for Andrew Luck. And RG3 as well. I mean, again, only two preseason games in. He struggled a little bit against Chicago. Played decent against Buffalo. But the buzz is out there for these two guys. The buzz is here. The buzz is out there between about these two guys. The buzz is big, and these two guys get it on today in the third preseason game for these teams, which is great. Because now, like I said, that third preseason game is a dress rehearsal. It's a dress rehearsal, third preseason game. So this is an opportunity for these guys to, I mean, this is not obviously regular season football, but this is the closest you're going to get to regular season football in the preseason. And the closest these two will get to regular season football in their careers at this point. We'll see. I'm really interested in this particular ball game. I'm interested to see RG3 and Andrew Luck up against each other. And I know, I mean, obviously they're not competing against each other in terms of, you don't get the sense these two, okay, I want to prove he's the best and I'm the best and so on and so forth. You don't sense that rivalry. But at the same time, I think if you're one of these guys, you're probably geeked up for this game as well. You're probably geared up for this game as well, because you know what? If I'm RG3, I want to prove that, you know what, maybe the Colts made a mistake. They should have took me number one. And if I'm Andrew Luck, I want to say, and I want to show, you know what, I am the best player in this draft. The Colts did the right thing by taking me number one. So I think, I mean, they can say all they want, you know, this game is, you know, a typical game and doesn't mean much, so on and so forth. But, and actually, I mean, RG3 had some interesting comments. He said, I definitely look forward to playing the guy throughout my career. I think it will be exciting matchups every time we face each other. And Andrew Luck stated as well, I think you realize that there's some sort of nature of the beast. Let me read that again. I think you realize that the nature of the beast, nature of playing quarterback, the nature of being drafted number one, two, at any position in any sport. I don't speak for him, but I'm sure he feels the same way. It's not too hard not to get too caught up in it. I have much bigger things to worry about. I mean, obviously he believes he has bigger things to worry about, bigger fish to fry, and he does. I mean, this is a preseason game. This is a game of many for him. This is one game out of many for Andrew Luck. One game out of many for him. But RG3 says he's always looked forward and definitely looked forward to playing a guy. I mean, and that guy is Andrew Luck throughout the course of his career. And he believes it's going to be an exciting matchup every time they face each other. And we'll see how exciting it will be today as these two Titans get it on. Luck number one for the Indianapolis Colts and RG3 number two for the Washington Redskins. These two getting it on today in Washington, 4 o'clock. Check it out. We'll see to this point who is the legitimate number one. And obviously we'll see to this point. But that question, the answer to that question won't be answered no time soon. It won't be answered tonight, today I should say, and it probably won't be answered for at least a couple years to come, 2 to 3 years. We can make a determination whether or not, unless one of these guys play like Ryan Leaf and the other plays like Peyton Manning, and then it becomes no comparison at all. It becomes no comparison at all. And you remember back then when the Colts and the Chargers were both picking. Chargers picking one, and the Colts the Colts picking one, the Chargers picking number two, and the Colts taking Peyton Manning and the Chargers taking Ryan Leaf in a debate at the time whether or not should the Colts have taken Ryan Leaf. And judging by what we have seen over the years and saw over the years, it became very obvious and evident that the Colts made the right decision in taking Peyton Manning. It became very obvious, became very evident by watching the two, who was the better prospect, who was the better player. And then judging by some of the things that Ryan Leaf has went through off the field in terms of the arrest and so on and so forth, his immaturity was very evident throughout his career, and it's continued after his career, post-football, for Ryan Leaf. And you just wish Ryan Leaf would get his thing right, get his situation straightened out. But he can at this point, struggling at this point. Obviously, the situation with his arrest, with the drug charges and so on and so forth, the robbery charges and everything that he's dealing with. You hope, again, that Ryan Leaf can get it right. But, again, the same type of buzz about those two is similar to the buzz that we're getting with these two. And who was going to be better and so on and so forth. Did the Colts make the right decision then? Obviously they did. Did they make the right decision now? And time will be the judge for that, whether or not they made the right decision now. But I think at this point, and it's still early, obviously, very early, but I think to this point that we've seen that the Colts probably have made the right choice in selecting Andrew Luck as the number one pick in the 2012 NFL draft. We've seen that to this point, and it looks pretty evident and obvious that is the case. And yesterday there were some cuts in the National Football League, and one cut that was surprising was the cut of defensive end Anthony Hargrove by the Green Bay Packers. And Hargrove, as you know, he's already facing an 8-game suspension for his role, I guess as you could say, in the bounty scandal with the Saints, and he was released, and kind of surprising. I mean, he was released kind of early. You would expect him to be able to stick around, but I mean, it's a tough situation for him because now getting cut at this point and having to still serve that 8-game suspension when he gets picked up by another team, it's going to be difficult for him to get another job. It's going to be very difficult for him to get another job. And you don't know, I mean, you wonder, I mean, Mike McCarthy did say that his snaps would be limited in practice because of his suspension. You wonder if this was a performance thing. You wonder if it was because of the suspension. And, I mean, I also wonder, you know, whether or not, I mean, in terms of him coming out against Roger Goodell and how adamant he was and his press conference that he had there on the coming out of the courtroom there, just an impromptu press conference that he had there. You wonder if all that and the attention from all the bounty stuff was one of the reasons that they cut him as well. I mean, it's a tough situation for Anthony Hargrove, tough situation for Jonathan Vilma, tough situation for Scott Fujita, Will Smith, all those guys involved in that bounty scandal. I mean, I've spoke about this numerous times, and it bothers me to no end because I felt like, you know what, you punish the coaches, you punish the organization. You don't need to punish these players. Coaches, organization guys in the organization, they'll bounce back easily from this. The players, not so easy. Not so easy. Anthony Hargrove, when he gets picked up, still has to serve the 8-game suspension. So what are the chances that he gets another job this year? What are his chances now that he gets another job this year? What are his chances? They're not looking good. They're not looking good. They're not looking good for this guy. And again, 8-game suspension is 8-game suspension. So when he comes back, if he comes back with another team, he still has to serve those 8 games. And you know teams are going to want to, you know, injuries happen throughout the course of the year, but you sign Anthony Hargrove, he still has to serve his 8-game suspension. Still has to serve his 8 games. the coaches, the organization. If a bounty scandal did, if bounties were going on, they set this up. They set this up. The players were following the rules of the organization. The organization set this up. So whether they participated, added monies, so on and so forth. So on and so forth. The reality is this was set up, if it was set up, by the organization. Not by Hargrove, not by Vilma, by the organization. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to punish anybody, punish the organization, you did that. Organization punished. Check. But now you're going after these players. I don't think it's fair. Never thought it was fair. But it is what it is. It is one of the reasons it happens when you give too much power to one person, and that's what happens when you make Roger Goodell the judge, the jury, and the executioner. These players had a problem with Goodell having so much power. They had so much of a problem with it that when they had an opportunity to change it, they didn't change it. So how much of a problem did you really have with it? When you had an opportunity to change it with the collective bargaining agreement, you had an opportunity. Last year was your opportunity to take some of the power away from Roger Goodell. You did not do that. Therefore, he becomes the judge, he becomes the jury, and he becomes the executioner. He's all in one. And if you have a problem with his decision, you know what? Who do you have to talk to again? Him. Him. And again, you hope, with that whole system, that whole process, you hope that the guy is in a good mood that particular day. Maybe he was in a bad mood that one day where he gave you the initial penalty. You appeal a few weeks later. He decides that, you know what, let me reduce the penalty. I mean, and it's a sad situation to me. It's a messed up situation for a guy, Anthony Hargrove, who now he has to wait. And his name may not get called again because he's still going to have to serve an 8-game suspension. He's still going to have to serve an 8-game suspension. Still going to have to serve the 8-game suspension. Still going to have to serve it. No getting around it. Still going to have to serve it. It is what it is. He's still going to have to serve it. He's going to have to. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. And the thing is, he wasn't counted against the roster because of his suspension. I mean, it's tough now. It's a tough move deal for him now. Tough deal for him now. And actually, I misquoted. I was wrong here. But it has been reported that by NFL.com that Hargrove's suspension will start week one no matter if he signed or not. So that changes things. That does change things. That does change things for him. And it does give him an opportunity to get another chance. That does give him another opportunity to get another chance. So that helps him. That definitely helps him, big time. That helps him big time. And you hope that he does get another opportunity. You hope that he gets another opportunity. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good for Anthony Hargrove. But he will be able to play week 9 no matter when or where he signs. But Anthony Hargrove now is without a job. He is without a job right now. And you wonder, with this bounty scandal looming over his head and the suspension looming over his head, whether or not he will get another opportunity this season. You wonder. But these players are still fighting, and hopefully something good can come out for them. something good can come out of it for him. Hopefully. You really hope that something good can come out of it. Hope something for these players. Something. So, now, traditionally, and to my point, the NFL usually does not, they usually cannot serve their suspension while they're not on their team. So, that's where I was, that was to my point earlier that maybe he won't get another shot. But the NFL, actually, I said they don't. They actually do allow players to serve suspensions while they're not on the team. They usually do allow players to serve a suspension while they're not on the team. So hopefully he can have the opportunity to play again and get another opportunity. But again, that probably won't happen until the suspension is over. So you figure week 9, week 10, maybe he'll get a shot. Maybe he'll get another opportunity. But he can serve a suspension while not on a team. So the first 8 weeks are done for him, but he still can have another opportunity with another team and still has another shot to catch on with another team after week 8. But you wonder how many teams will be banging down his door. I mean, didn't have a great year in Seattle. I mean, he's not one of the better players in the league. I mean, he's a journeyman defensive end, defensive lineman. So how much of an opportunity he gets in the open market, especially with this whole bounty scandal looming and the suspension and everything, how much of an opportunity he gets will be interesting. Will be very interesting. Very interesting. But it still doesn't change the fact how I feel in terms of these players and the opportunities that they have and how limited those opportunities are in comparison to coaches and GMs and everything, because you only have such a short time to play football. You can only play football for so long. You can coach forever. You can general manage forever. You can be a general manager forever. You can do those things forever. Can't coach forever. Can't do that forever. That doesn't last forever. So, I mean, Vilma, Hargrove, and these boys, now, I mean, with this whole thing going on, and it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. But again, he will be allowed to serve his suspension while not on a team. He will be able to do that. And therefore, when it's all said and done, he won't be available to anybody until week 9. So he's probably not a, you don't expect anybody from any other team to go after him with the fact that he has a suspension looming. So, I mean, it's a tough situation for Anthony Hargrove, but I wish him nothing but the best of luck, and I hope he can catch on somehow, somewhere, with some team. Somehow, somewhere, with some team. You hope. And I want to switch gears now, and I want to switch gears to cycling, the great sport of cycling. But Lance Armstrong, guy who's battled, a guy who's fought everything, battled cancer. It came, Lance Armstrong fought it, and he won. And then, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. He is a fighter. He is a fighter. But Thursday, this past Thursday, he will stop fighting. He's not fighting this time, and he will stop fighting allegations that he used banned substances during his career. He's going to stop fighting. He believes it's a battle that he can't win. He believes it's a battle he cannot win. Well, to me, it's so for him to, and you look at the whole thing with the USADA and the whole U.S. in the whole cycling, the whole sport of cycling. I mean, it's a dirty sport. There's a lot of cyclists out here who are dirty. I mean, the runner-ups to Lance Armstrong from 1999 to 2005, three out of five, were banned for doping. Banned for doping, for taking performance-enhancing drugs. Banned. So it's a dirty sport. And Lance Armstrong, a guy, again, who's fought everything, beat cancer. He's fought for victims with cancer, with people with cancer. He's fought for them with his foundation. He's made a lot of money for them with his foundation. And all of a sudden, now, he's not going to fight these allegations. And because he's not going to fight them, he's been banned for life. And he's been stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. Stripped of them. Taken away. Give me them. Gone away from Lance. Gone. He says he's innocent in his statement. And he wrote in the statement, there comes a point in every man's life when he has to say enough is enough. For me, that time is now. He called the investigation a witch hunt, unconstitutional, and he felt like it was a battle that he could not win. And that is so un-Lance Armstrong-like. So un-Lance Armstrong-like. This is a guy that fights everything and wins. And wins. And USADA has said, United States Anti-Doping Agency, they said, you know what? We have 10 cyclists who will say and testify that you are dirty and have been dirty. And Aunt Lance Armstrong, he sued USADA, and ultimately that case was thrown out. But according to the judge in that case, the conduct in this particular situation raises some question. The conduct by USADA raises some questions. And Lance Armstrong went on to say also that every turn USADA has played a role of bullying, threatening everyone in its way, and challenging the good faith of anyone who questions the motives or its methods, all at U.S. taxpayers' expense. Sounds good, Lance. But as far as I'm concerned, why not take this to an arbitrator? Why not fight this situation? Why not fight this battle? Why not fight? If you feel like you're innocent, why not fight? Makes no sense. Maybe if he would have fought, and if he would have took it to arbitration and some of these things would have came out, it would have hurt his brand. Nike, to this point, has stood by Lance Armstrong. His Livestrong Cancer Organization, his foundation, Livestrong and everything, it's going well. So he's still doing things. And Lance Armstrong, his foundation, and the Livestrong bracelets, I mean, everybody was wearing those things. Everyone was wearing them. And then Lance Armstrong was a hero to most, to many. Still is. A lot of people still believe him. I mean, he hasn't tested positive, but USADA says it has evidence. They have evidence. They have evidence. They have evidence. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if he's not guilty, and he didn't take performance-enhancing drugs, the reality is, if he didn't dope, the reality is, you can't take it. I mean, you could say that you can strip him of the medals and so on and so forth, but the reality is, he won them. He won them. So you can say you're taking him away, but you really can't take him away. I mean, he won them. He won them. Well, I mean, the records can tell you otherwise, but the reality is, he won them. And you look at the things that he's done. Over $500 million to fight cancer. He's raised that much. And he's been a hero to a lot of people. He's been an inspiration to a lot of people. Inspiration to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have suspected that he was dirty over the years. A lot of people have suspected that he was dirty over the years. A lot of people. A lot of people. So, I mean, and the reality is, I'm not surprised that he decided not to fight it. But the thing about it, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably a smart move for him not to fight it. I mean, you look at it, if he's guilty, all this damning information will come out. All this information will come out against him, saying that he you know, and it's going to mess up his brand. It's going to mess up his foundation and the money he's raising for cancer with that, and his bracelets and Nike, the sponsorship deals, and so on and so forth. It's going to mess up all those things if evidence comes out that is against Lance Armstrong. So as far as I'm concerned, he's probably doing the right. This is probably a smart move for him. You know what? Not going to fight it. It is what it is. Your process is flawed. Your process is unfair. It is what it is. But guess what? Nike still stands by me. My foundation is still going great. My bracelets are still selling. I'm still fighting cancer and raising money to fight cancer. I mean, those things are, that's, to me, let's look at it. Let's just say he did cheat. Let's say he did cheat. Let's say he took performance-enhanced drugs. Let's say he did. Let's say he did. And let's go with that premise that he did take performance-enhancing drugs. When it's all said and done, is the good that he has done with fighting cancer and raising money for cancer and with his foundation, is all the good that he has done, does that erase the fact that he possibly was a cheat? Does it erase those facts? I mean, what is it? What would you rather have, a guy taking steroids or a guy raising $500 million to fight cancer? Well, to me, does his good outweigh his bad? And we can't say definitively that he was a cheat, that he took performance-enhancing drugs. We can't say that definitively. We cannot definitively say that. We can't. But the thing about it is this. He's raised all this money for cancer. All this money to fight cancer. Raised all this money, $500 million, with his bracelets and his foundation and everything. He's raised so much money for cancer. Does that good outweigh the possibility that he is a cheat and that he did take performance-enhancing drugs, that he was blood doping? Does it outweigh that? And to be honest with you, I say it does. Does it make him look like a phony on some level? Possibly, yeah, sure. But guess what? He did raise $500 million to fight cancer. He did do that. He did do that. He did inspire many by coming back. And whether it was through performance-enhancing drugs or not, we don't know. We don't know definitively. But he did come back, and he did at least show the world that you can beat cancer, and gave a lot of people hope. Is he a fraud? If all this is true, sure, yes, he is. But we're all frauds in some form of our lives. I mean, we all have a fraudulent inside to us in some form of our lives. I mean, a lot of people, if you're religious and you say you're a Christian, Muslim, whatever religion you are, you're lying. That is a contradiction. That is a contradiction in your life. That is a fault in your life. If you say you're an honest person, you lie periodically. Does that mean you're not an honest person? I mean, if you live most of your life and you steal a piece of candy from the bubblegum store, does that mean that you're a thief? I mean, so it's, yes, if he took performance-enhancing drugs, he's a cheat. Yes, he becomes a fraud in some form, in some shape or form, some way. He is a fraud. He becomes a fraud, yes. He becomes a fraud. You can call him a fraud. Yes, you can. You can. You can do that. He becomes a fraud on some level. Yes, he does. He does. There's no doubt about that. But that's the bad. Let's look at the good. Lance Armstrong Foundation doing a lot to rid this world of cancer. Lance Armstrong Foundation, his bracelets and everything, raised $500 million. Over $500 million. To fight cancer. And so ultimately beat cancer. Raised $500 million. So as far as I'm concerned, if he's a cheat, he's a cheat. If he's a cheat, he's a cheat. Fine. Fine. If he's a cheat, he's a cheat. If he's a cheat, he's a cheat. No getting around it. If that's what he is, that's what he is. That's what he is. But, the man has raised over $500 million for cancer. Does that good outweigh the possible bad? And to me, it's a very easy answer. Yes, it does. Because at the end of the day, yes, if he did take performance-enhancing drugs, if he did those things, at the end of the day, sports and competing in sports and cancer, which one is more important? Sports and competing in sports or beating and giving monies to beat and to fight cancer? What's more important? His victory in the Tour de France or his victory over cancer and the money he's raised to help those with cancer? What's more important? What's more important? And I think it's an obvious answer for all of us. It's an obvious answer for all of us. An obvious answer. An obvious answer for all of us. An obvious answer. It's an obvious answer. To me, the most important thing that Lance Armstrong has done is not what he has done in the Tour de France. It's not what he has done on that bike. And if he doped, if he took performance-enhancing drugs, so be it. The guy has raised $500 million. $500 million. Raised that much money. $500 million. To fight cancer. He's raised that much money to fight cancer. As far as I'm concerned, if you cheated, Lance, yes, it's not good to cheat. You should never cheat. You should not want to cheat. But if you did, you did. But your good, as far as I'm concerned, has outweighed any bad. Yes, I can call you a fraud because of it. I can call you a fraud because of it. Sure, I can do that. But as far as I'm concerned, your good outweighs the bad. And everybody, I mean, some of the sponsors of Lance Armstrong and his foundation have stood and continued to stand by this guy. Nike, I've talked about. Anheuser-Busch, Oakley, Johnson Health Tech, Sporting KC, FRS, Honey Stinger, American Century Investments, all have issued statements in support of Lance Armstrong. All have supported Lance Armstrong. Does that mean he's not a cheat? That doesn't mean he's not a cheat. It doesn't mean that. But at this point, these organizations, these companies have decided to stand by Lance Armstrong. Again, is he a fraud if he cheated? Yes. But like I said before, we all have fraudulent sides to all of us. If we say one thing and do another, you're a fraud. That's a fraudulent side of you. If you say you're going up and you go down, that's a fraudulent side of you. If you say you love somebody and you hate them, that's a fraudulent side of you. If you tell a female that you love her just to get into her pants, that's a fraudulent side of you. So all these things are fraudulent sides of a person. Does that mean you're an out-and-out fraud? Probably not. Can you call Lance Armstrong an out-and-out fraud? I mean, you can. You can, and I couldn't argue with you, especially if you believe that he took performance-enhancing drugs, especially if you believe from 1999 to 2005, his victories in the Tour de France were a byproduct of him taking performance-enhancing drugs. Yes, you can call him a fraud. I can't argue with you, but I can argue this. Have you raised $500 million to fight cancer? Because I know somebody who has. And it's not you. It's Lance Armstrong. I know somebody who raised $500 million for cancer. I don't know him personally, but he used to do a lot of you. But I do know this. Fraud, sure. Why not? Call him a fraud if you believe that he took performance-enhancing drugs. I can't argue that. I won't. Don't have time to. But I will tell you this. Does the good outweigh the bad? Does the good outweigh the bad? I would tell you that it does. The good does outweigh the bad. And what if he didn't dope? What if some of the things USADA is saying and some of the allegations that they have and some of the racers that were willing to testify against Armstrong, what if they were lying? What if all these things weren't true? What if Lance Armstrong really didn't dope? I think he did, to be honest with you, because there's so much smoke here, so many rumors, allegations surrounding this. And usually when there's smoke, there's fire. Usually when there's maggots, there's flies. I think he did it. I think he is guilty. But I think from a strategic point of view, smart move by him to just back away. Because all the evidence would come out either way. Some which may not be good for the Lance Armstrong brand. Now he can go on and continue to say he didn't dope. And there, like I said, there are so many people that will believe him. He can continue with that, continue saying that. He can go on now in his own life and continue to be sponsored. His foundation continue to have the sponsorships and everything. The foundation continuing to raise money for cancer. He can go on and say that. You can't take the titles away from him. You could take it away on paper, but at the end of the day, you really can't take it away from him. Because at the end of the day, he earned it. Now, if he took performance-enhancing drugs, you can question it. Did he really earn it at that point? I mean, there's a population of people who believe that performance-enhancing drugs should be legal. That shouldn't matter. that it shouldn't really even matter. I'm not prepared to go in that route, in that direction, and believe that, but there are people out there who say it shouldn't matter. It is what it is. It's a part of the game. You're doing what you have to do to compete and get better. Now, you still have to put in the work once you take these performance-enhancing drugs. You still have to put the work in. Once you take these PEDs, you still have to put the work in. You still got to put the work in. That doesn't take away from work. You still got to work. But we'll see what happens to this whole Lance Armstrong thing. But as far as I'm concerned, it's probably a dead issue. And as far as I'm concerned, the good outweighs the bad in this whole Lance Armstrong case. The second hour of Go For It starts right now. Hour of Go For It, and in this hour, we're expected to be joined by actor and one of the stars of AMC's The Killing, Eric Layton. And granted, the show has been canceled, but they are fighting, and there are possibilities that the show could get picked up by another entity. So hopefully that will happen with the show. But Eric Layton was a big part of that show, The Killing, and we're going to talk to him. But Eric, we're going to talk about The Killing a little bit, but we're also going to talk about Eric's love for his Lakers. Eric's love for USC football, USC sports. I mean, because as I said in the beginning, this is a great time to be Eric Layton. I mean, I wish I could die and come back and be Eric Layton right now. I mean, the Lakers, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, USC, number one in the country, Matt Barkley decides to come on back. He decides to come on back. And this is a team, USC, that had the two-year ban and the sanctions and the limitations and scholarships, so on and so forth. But all that stuff is gone. Gone away. And USC is back. Lane Kiffin has brought this team and kept this team through the trying times of the sanctions, of the reduction in scholarships, of the bowl bans, all that. And he's got a stud quarterback, Heisman hopeful, Matt Barkley back in his 39 touchdowns. Curtis McNeil, he's back with his 1,000 yards last season on the ground. Robert Woods, he's back with his 111 balls and almost 1,300 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns. He's back. Oh, by the way, Silas Red, transfer from Penn State, he's now in the building. USC is back, and they are ranked number one in the country. They are back. And the Lakers, they're back as well, though I don't think they never really went away. But with Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, that's a beautiful thing if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan. And again, I so wish right now that I was Eric Layton. I just wish that I was Eric Layton right now. I really do. I wish I was Eric Layton because I would be talking about having Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, talking about having the best center in the game, one of the best point guards in the game. Oh, by the way, to go along with Pau Gasol, one of the better power forwards in the game. And oh, by the way, to still have Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bean Bryant, the superstar, one of the best players in the game of basketball. Oh, by the way, I still have him. And oh, by the way, I found a way to get Dwight Howard. I found a way to get Steve Nash. And I found a way to keep Pau Gasol. I found a way to trade away whatever I need to trade away and do whatever I needed to do, and I kept one of the best power forwards in the game in Pau Gasol. And, oh, by the way, I have one of the best point guards in the game in Steve Nash. And now I went from the second best center in the game to the best center in the game in Dwight Howard. So I found a way to do all that. And ultimately, I was still able to keep Pau Gasol. I still found a way to keep Pau Gasol. You go from the second best center in the game to the best center in the game. You go from number two to number one and get the best center in the game. The best center in the game. You did that. You found a way to do that. As they like to say sometimes, there's another team that got cupjacked. Mitch Kupchak has done it again. He did it with Pau Gasol. You remember Pau Gasol, who came from the Grizzlies, and they gave up pretty much nothing. They did give up Marc Gasol, who turned out to be a very – Marc Gasol is a top-five center in this league. So they did give up a top-five center in some respect to get Pau Gasol, but at the time it was a fleecing. At the time it was highway robbery. Not as much as it is now because, like I said, Marc Gasol, who was a part of that trade and came from the Lakers and went to the Grizzlies in that particular trade, has turned out to be a decent player. He's turned out to be a decent player. Marc Gasol's turned out to be, like I said, a top-five center in this game. He's a top-five center in this league. I believe that to be the case. Marc Gasol's a top-five center in this league. Top-five center. And he was in the Pau Gasol trade that brought Pau Gasol from Memphis to the Lakers. Brothers are being traded for brothers. What a country. Brothers being traded for brothers. I mean, and here's the trade. February 1st, 2008, Gasol traded to the Lakers with a 2010 second-round draft pick for Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenden, Aaron McKee out of the league, Crittenden having his issues, his legal issues, out of the league. 2008-2010 first-round draft picks, and Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol, like I said before, is a top-five center in this league. Top-five center in this league. So, yes, at the time, you could argue that, yes, the Lakers, and they still got the better of the trade. Let's not get that twisted. But it's not as bad as you thought it was many years ago. You thought it was bad many years ago. At the time, it was awful. I mean, you're talking about one of the better power forwards in the game. Better power forwards in the game. Pau Gasol. And you give him away. You give him away. At the time, you thought the trade was awful. You thought it was awful. But when you look at the trade 3-4 years later, not as bad. Not as bad. Because, again, Pau Gasol beget Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol is a top-five center in this league. One of the better centers in the league, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. Marc Gasol is a decent player. A decent player. One of the better centers in the game. One of the better centers in the game. And what that trade did for Memphis many years ago, again, is they're able to get Marc Gasol. They're able to get Marc Gasol. And they ultimately used the extra monies. Ultimately, they used the extra monies to be able to keep a Zach Randolph and so on and so forth. So the Laker trade for Pau Gasol for Marc Gasol back in 2008, not as bad as many thought it would be. But let's bring in a guy now who I wish I was right now. Everybody, I wish I was Eric Laid. I wish Dwight Howard was what's on the Philadelphia 76ers. But I do love Andrew Bynum. I wish Steve Nash was my point guard. Oh, I wish. I'm a Temple grad. I wish I was a USC grad right now. Oh, I wish I was Eric Laid. Let's bring him in now. Actor, the one, the only, Eric Laid.
Eric, hey, Layden. Man.
How are you?
I'm doing
fantastic. How are you?
Doing well. I wish I was you.
Yeah, well, it's been a good little summer in my sports teams for sure.
Definitely. And let's start with your Lakers. I mean, a great offseason. Oh, your Lakers found a way to get Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, and somehow, some way, found a way to keep Pau Gasol. Let's start with Dwight Howard. I mean, you replaced the second-best center in the game with the best center in the game. Your thoughts on Dwight Howard?
You know what? I'm really fired up right now. I mean, it was one of those things where as everything kind of unfolded, I thought, you know, it's going to be really hard to root for this guy just because this whole drag-out thing has been such a pain to listen to. But somehow the Lakers got it done, and I will say – I've not been a huge fan of the front office of the Lakers when Bus left, and now his son obviously showed that he knows what he's doing. And the fact that, like you said, we kept Pau Gasol is just incredible.
It's amazing. It's a miracle. I mean, it's almost like akin to changing and turning water into wine. I mean, this is amazing. How do you do it? I mean, it's an amazing thing what the Lakers were able to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's incredible. And I think the thing that – I mean, it's just the defensive aspect that now, you know, Dwight Howard is just so strong defensively. And, you know, obviously, I actually think Bynum is a more productive offensive player when you put in his free throw shooting. But, you know, offensively is not where we needed the help. Now with Steve Nash, Kobe – and Pau Gasol on the floor, you know, offensively, I think we're going to be squared away. It's defensively. And, you know, with Howard in the middle, it's we got a good recipe to make a good, strong run.
And let's talk about another big move that the Lakers made, and that was to bring the signing of Jody Meeks. Not just playing. You guys brought in Steve Nash. I mean, Steve Nash, obviously one of the best point guards in the game, and he likes to have the ball in his hands. Kobe is best with the ball in his hands. Can this work?
Yeah, you know, I mean, at least from what I've heard, you know, reading, like, you know, people like John Ireland, who are so close to the Lakers, you know, apparently when Steve Nash called Kobe and said, look, you know, the Lakers are calling, what are your thoughts on it? You know, I think Kobe said, look, I've been dying for somebody to come in and get the ball out of my hands. You know, the defense follows me around every time I touch the ball, and, you know, I'll welcome the change. And I think it'll be easier said than done. I think that when Kobe gets on the floor, instincts are for him to have the ball in his hand. But I think that if he can allow Steve Nash to run the point and have the ball in his hand, he's going to find that he's going to be open so much more. And it'll allow him opportunities to score without maybe using as much on his legs as he's had to in the past.
And are you excited about the addition of Jody Meeks?
Hey, listen, with Jody Meeks coming in, and I think another huge pickup is Antoine Jamison. I mean,
that is big.
I mean, all of a sudden you got guys coming off, you know, Antoine Jamison coming off the bench, and I think Jordan Hill started to provide a big slash last year towards the end of the year. You know, I think if he can continue to progress, all of a sudden, you know, we've got guys coming off the bench that you know, can maybe keep the minutes down on our starters. Because at the end of the day, as good as our starting five is, they still got age. So, you know, I think they're going to have to limit their minutes so that come postseason time, they're fresh and ready to go.
And you look at it, you talked about Antoine Jameson. I think hopefully if you're a Lakers fan, he replaces what you lost with Lamar Odom.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he's, you know, he's a veteran. He's been there before. He's been in situations, I think, before where he's had to, you know, carry a five, you know, a starting five. And
yeah.
So, you know, as he comes off the bench and he kind of takes that leadership role for that second unit, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, a really good addition.
And we look at the Lakers, but we also have to look at OKC, and that's the team that they're probably going to be fighting for to get to the NBA Finals. OKC still has Durant, still have Westbrook, still have the bigs and Perkins and Ibaka, guys who can compete with the Lakers front line. Have these moves, with all these moves now, Nash, Antoine Jameson, Dwight Howard, Jody Meeks, have the Lakers surpassed OKC?
You don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, OKC is the class of the West until the Lakers beat them. You know what I mean? I mean, they proved last year that they were the best in the West. And, you know, I personally think that we're going to give them a run, and I think that we should probably be able to beat them in a seven-game series. But you know, Durant, he's nasty, man. I mean,
definitely.
And him and Westbrook, and I mean, they just – with Harden coming off the bench, I mean, they've got a squad that's going to be tough to beat, I think, no matter who you have. I think, you know, I would say that age and you know, kind of the veterans on this team will give us a bit of a boost. I think what really is going to help us against OKC is just having Hot Howard in the middle. You know, I mean, and that's
right.
Something that, you know, is really tough for any team to compete with. So now that you have him in the middle, you know, it's going to probably pose a lot of problems for OKC, but still, you know, OKC won it last year, and until we dethrone them, they're the class of the West.
We're talking to actor Eric Layden, and Eric, I mean, Dwight Howard can be a free agent after this year, and this is a situation in Los Angeles. I mean, Steve Nash is older. Kobe is getting up there, and you got Dwight Howard, the back. I mean, he may not start the season with the Lakers because of the back, so you have all those things, and this is a there's always a possibility that this whole thing could blow up. Steve Nash can get old overnight. Kobe can get a little older overnight. All these things could blow up. But when it's all said and done, Eric, do you think Dwight Howard sticks around after this season?
You know, Dwight Howard loves the limelight. And we've seen that. He's a character, man. I mean, he loves the limelight. He loves being in front of the press. I think he loves the L.A. lifestyle. I think that when he gets a taste of what it's like to play an entire season for the show, I think it's going to be really tough for him to turn his back, especially when we can offer him the most money. I mean,
right.
All due respect, I'm from Houston, Texas. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Houston. You know, all due respect there. It's, you know, it's going to be tough to leave L.A. That's a pretty fun place to play when you're, you know, when you're jogging up the court and Jack Nicholson's on one side giving you a high five and, you know, you got all the celebrities and models around. And I think it's a situation that he's going to fall in love with pretty quick.
And how could you not like L.A.? I mean, like you said, all the things that you mentioned, I mean, and like you said, he loves the limelight. So this, to me, would be the perfect situation for Dwight Howard in terms of wanting to be Hollywood and also wanting to win at the same time. It's the best of both worlds. That's Shaq.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like some players, I would say, you know, not really into it. But for him, I mean, he soaks that stuff up, man. He loves that. So I can see him really falling in love after a season there. So we'll see.
Do you think in any type of scenario that this whole situation could blow up?
I mean, look, first and foremost, you got to stay healthy, you know. I think
right.
that's first-case scenario. Because of the age, because of the depth, you know, everybody's got to stay healthy. And second of all, what we're going to find out, I think, real quick is how Mike Brown handles, you know, egos in a locker room. I mean, listen, that's what Phil Jackson did best. You know,
right.
I mean, he built his career on being able to, deal with three, four huge egos in a locker room and keep them at bay, and you know, and so we'll find out. I mean, one thing I think I like about the lineup is with Nash and Howard, you have guys who have never won a ring, and you know, in sports, I think it's a really kind of undervalued thing when you have a team that's won the finals and then you watch it for a national title in any sport. I think there's just a subconscious release of the gas pedal a little bit. And I think you're going to see it with Miami this year. I mean, Miami had no choice but to win the NBA finals last year. And so now we bring in a couple guys on our team who haven't won a ring. And I think that they're going to make everybody push a little bit harder. Just like what happened when Artest came and Powell came and people that hadn't won ring. You know, I just think that that's something that, you know, you really have to take into account.
And at the end of the day, like you said, Phil Jackson had a way of managing egos. Can and will Mike Brown do it? Will he manage these egos?
I don't know, man. it'll be interesting. I mean, let's be honest. Mike Brown is not the final say in that locker room. You know, it's
true.
Kobe Bryant. You know, it's his squad. And so, you know, I think it becomes, you know, can Steve Nash kind of step in as like a Derek Fisher role and be like a good kind of like a good veteran who keeps things at bay and kind of take that mediator role between Kobe and Dwight Howard? Will they get along? Can they get along? You know, I mean, personally, I just think that I would hope at least that Kobe's at a place now where he knows he's basically, I don't know, he's got 3 good years, maybe left, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know he wants 2 more rings. You know he
Definitely.
Wants to pass Michael. And so, you know, hopefully he'll do whatever it takes to just, you know, let that happen and go out on a high note. We'll see, though.
Now, Eric, I need you to play psychic here. Can and will the Lakers get those 2 championships that Kobe desperately wants?
Well, I don't know about 2, but this year I've got them with 60 wins and winning the title.
Wow.
I got them at 60 wins and winning the title.
So getting past OKC, getting
yep.
past the Spurs, who still are a formidable team, and ultimately
yep.
getting to the finals and beating more than likely the Miami Heat with LeBron, Wade, Bosh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's what
Rashard Lewis now in the mix in Miami.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Ray Lewis.
Ray Allen now.
Ray Allen, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh.
I got a close series, but I mean, you're not gonna think I'm gonna come onto your radio show and say that the Lakers are gonna lose to the Heat in the finals, do you?
No, I don't think you would say that, but you never know. You never know. I thought I'd try. And, Eric, I mean, we talked about the Lakers, but you're a big USC guy, and things are going well there. Sanctions are over. Matt Barkley is back. USC is ranked number one in the nation. How excited are you about this upcoming season?
Hey, man, things are back to where they should be, right? I mean, college football landscape now looks like it's supposed to. With USC on the top, I'm fired up. I've got my tickets right next to me right now.
Wow.
On my desk, and you know, 7 days away from kicking it off at the Coliseum next week on Saturday against Hawaii. It's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about football season and really fired up for the Trojans. And you know, as always, hopefully they can stay healthy, because if they can, I think it's going to be a pretty magical year.
And how excited were you when you found out that Matt Barkley was coming back?
Oh, that was huge, wasn't it? That was just
that was big.
That was a Christmas present right there. And I think that, you know, it just says so much about him. I love that he did it. I think, you know, I think the team rallies around a guy like that who decides to come back and play for him. And we probably will have one of the best offenses we've ever had, maybe back to like the 04, you know, Reggie Bush, Lindell White, Matt Leinart offense. I mean, this offense is going to be firing. It's going to be pretty awesome.
You still got Woods, you still got McNeil, and you got Silas Red coming in from Penn State.
Yeah, and don't sleep on actually who I believe will be probably end up being the best USC receiver, which is going to be Marquise Lee. That guy,
wow.
He's got an NFL body. I mean, he could start on Sundays this year. That guy is a beast, and I'm telling you, he'll be a guy that I think really like just propels himself this year into a national conversation.
And I'm looking at the USC schedule as it's presently constructed. Only two teams ranked in the top 25. It's a very manageable schedule. So when it's all said and done, Eric, you start the year number one, but do you end the year number one?
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, what we got Hawaii, and then we go to Syracuse, and then
Syracuse.
That's when we come back, and then we Stanford is our kind of early test.
Right.
That's at Stanford on the road. I think we get it done, but I think it's really close. And then I think maybe two or three weeks later, we play Utah on the road on a Thursday
night. Yeah. That's
and
big.
Now Utah is not a top 25 team, but that's Thursday night on the road,
right.
And those are always tough games. I say we're going to be coming into to our Oregon game undefeated at home.
Right.
And
November 3rd.
November 3rd, I'll be there. And, we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done.
Wow, this is a great time to be Eric Lee. A great
it's
time
a good
to
time
be.
It's a good time to be in my sports shoes, for sure.
Definitely. And, Eric, we got to go to some bad news. The great show on AMC, The Killing, has been canceled. But good news, there is talk that it could find a new home. Tell us what you
That's
know.
That's right. You know, I don't know anything. I know probably as much as you do. I would love to see DirecTV or Netflix pick it up. I think that'd be awesome. I'm not going to be a part of the show next year, but you know, I love the crew, and I would love to see them pick it up and try to get it to a season three. But if that doesn't happen, it was an incredible show to be a part of, and one that, will always kind of hold a little spot in my heart. It was something really neat that AMC did, and I think that they really kind of set the bar high for crime dramas. So it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
So no chance that you will be back?
No chance that I'll be back, no.
No chance, okay. And Eric, in talking about the show The Killing, a lot of people said it was a mistake for the show as a whole not to reveal the killer of Rosie Larson. I mean, looking back on it, was that a mistake?
You mean in season one?
Season one, yes.
Yeah. I think that, mistake's tough. I think that they probably could have handled it a little differently. I think that it wasn't a mistake necessarily because I think that they wanted to give the story longer than 13 episodes. I think that maybe what they could have done is make it one long season and then just taking a break in the middle. I think
okay.
The fact that audience members thought of that at season one versus season two, I think that really hurt as opposed to, we're just done with halfway through season one and we're going to take a little break before our second half of season two, that sort of thing.
Right.
They leaned marketing towards letting you believe that you were going to find the killer and you didn't. So I think there were mistakes being made as far as that's concerned, but I like the fact that they, didn't wrap it up in a bow right away and that they, extended it. So, I think it's kind of a catch 22. I think, some people love it and some people hate it. And that's the same with any sort of art. People have their opinions and that's that.
And what's new? What's going on with Eric Layden now? What you got going on new?
Well, first and foremost, we're expecting our first baby into the Layden
that's
family.
Great.
So that's what's
Congratulations.
Going on in my world. Right. Thank you very much. We're excited. We're really excited. And I'm just professionally, I'm working on something right now that I, of course, like everything else, you can't talk about. But I've got, I've got some things in the fire right now. I'm just reading scripts and I'm fortunate enough to kind of be in a position where I'm getting some stuff thrown my way that's really exciting and really neat. And I'm just trying to, make sure I pick the right thing. So, it's good. I'm fired up.
Do you know what you're having in terms of a boy, in terms of a girl?
Yeah, we're having a little boy.
Wow. You got a name picked out?
We got a couple names picked out. We haven't. I wanted to go with Trojan, but my wife wasn't into that.
I wouldn't like that either.
But I did.
Makes
you
think of condoms. I mean,
that's right. But I did get him some SD sweatpants already, so that's good.
Okay.
But yeah, we're having a little boy in December, and we're narrowing down the names right now.
Lane, Matt.
That's right.
Dwight.
You gotta just make sure it looks good on a roster. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what name would you think would look good on a roster? I mean, let's see, Matt Layton, Pete Layton, Dwight Layton.
Yeah, just like let's just go right on the nose, Matt Barkley Layton.
I like it.
That's great.
Eric, I know you have a website. Where can fans connect with you on that website?
They can go to ericladen.com, L-A-D-I-N, ericladen.com, or follow me on Twitter, at Eric Layden.
There you go, Eric. It was a pleasure talking to you, man. And, again, I wish I was you right now. Though, my Sixers did get Andrew Bynum. I'm very excited about that.
Are you fired up? That's a big pickup.
Big time.
The Sixers are going to be – they're going to compete in the East, man. Give me your prediction for the Sixers.
I think Boston's gotten better, even though they lost Ray Allen. I still think they got better. Obviously, Miami has gotten better with the addition of Ray Allen. Chicago, they're not going to be the same team without Derrick Rose. Brooklyn, you have to think about, but I don't know how good they're really going to be. I think when it's all said and done, I think the Sixers can get the third seed in the Eastern Conference and get at least to the second round.
That's big, man. That's great. That's good. I agree with you there. I think the Sixers are a third or a fourth seed. I think they play their first round at home and win, and then their second round depends on who they get.
Right.
But I think Bynum is going to be huge for that team. And I think he's going to play with a big chip on his shoulder, too.
Now, you've seen him every day. You've seen Andrew Bynum every day. Second best center in the league. Some people say he's the best center in the league. Your thoughts?
I think it's like 1A and 1B, to be honest with you. I think that he has things that Dwight Howard doesn't have. And that's his free throw shooting ability. He's a much better free throw shooter, and he's got much better footwork.
Right.
Offense with the ball in his hand. I mean, working with Kareem as long as he did, I think he's got some great moves. And the thing with Howard, I mean, the Bynum that I just think that always kind of irritated Laker fans was that he'd be the best center in the league for a month and a half, and then all of a sudden he'd just like go to sleep for a week, and you were just kind of like wondering where he went. And I think now, though, being out of – I mean, didn't he say in his press conference, like, now I'm the first option or something like that?
He is going to be the number one guy.
I think he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's not going to be second fiddle to anybody. And listen, if that's what he wants, he just got it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Philly fans are ruthless. So, you know, we'll see how they take to that.
Yeah, I mean, and you've been, like I said, you've been around the guy, you rooted for the guy for the past few years. Can he handle it? I mean, the difference between the L.A. media and the Philly media, can he handle this East Coast media?
Man, I think he can. He's good with the media, man. He is good with the media. But he's still immature, so, I hope he does well, man. I really do. I wish Bynum the best. I think you guys have a strong team this year.
I agree. I definitely agree. But I mean, I think Boston is still better, and I think obviously Miami's still better.
I don't know about Boston. I'm not a Boston fan. You know that.
I like what they did. I mean, even though they lost Ray Allen, and that's the only problem where he went. If Ray Allen would have went to, say, let's say he would have went to the Nets. I mean, or let's say he would have went to the Knicks. Let's say he would have went to even the Clippers or somewhere.
Right.
It wouldn't have been as bad of a loss. But where he went makes it a bad loss for the Boston Celtics.
That's true. Yeah, because they're going to see him.
Right.
They're going to see him. And they're going to see him against, like, you know, the best team in the league.
Exactly. But, I mean, they brought in Jason Terry, Courtney Lee. Chris Wilcox is back. Jeff Green is back. I mean, I like some of the things that they did. The Sullinger they drafted, Fab Mello as well. I mean, I like the things that they did. I mean, I think they're going to be a better team than they were this year. And they gave they took Miami to seven games.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, but that's just still another year on those legs. I don't know. I wouldn't be too scared of Boston. I think that you guys got a good. By the way, you know who I really like, who's obviously because he's an SC guy, but I think he plays really well, is Nick Young.
Yes, yes, yes. We had him on the show actually. Like Nick Young, definitely is a big move for the Sixers.
Yeah,
he can fill it up. He can fill it up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, he's got a shot, but it'll be interesting to see what Holiday and Bynum bring to the table together.
Right, and Bynum's going to be the number one guy now, and we'll see how he acts in that role. It's going to be different for him.
Well, you don't think that Kwame Brown will start over Bynum?
It's a possibility. You never know. You saw Kwame Brown every day at one point in your life, and Kwame Brown is—he is who he is. He can rebound a little bit. He can defend a little bit. He is who he is.
Kwame Brown is terrible.
He wasn't bad with the Lakers. He wasn't bad.
Yeah, he was terrible.
You're thinking because he was a number one pick overall. He wasn't that bad.
He came out very overrated. I guess that's very true. But I don't think he's the guy you want starting in your center spot.
Oh no, of course not. Of course not. But I mean, he is who he is.
That's true. We'll touch base late NBA season, and we'll see where we're at.
Definitely. And we'll talk about your new baby. We'll talk about your new roles and all the other great things you have going on. Fans, make sure you go ericladen.com, ericladen.com, and follow him on Twitter, @EricLaden. Eric, a pleasure talking to you, man. Wish you nothing but the best of luck. Good luck with the baby and everything.
Hey, back at you, pal. Always good to chat. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right.
Eric Layden used to be on The Killing, one of the stars of The Killing on AMC. That has been canceled. He's no longer going on the show. Even if the show does find another home, he's not coming back. A pleasure talking to Eric Layden as well. And he's got a baby coming on the way. Matt Layden, we'll see. Reggie Layden, we'll see. Dwight Layden, Kobe Layden. I mean, we'll see what names they can come up with. But, I mean, he's very confident about his Lakers. And rightfully so. I mean, obviously, you bring in the best center in the game and you bring in one of the better point guards in the league, you should be very confident. You should be confident. And you found a way to keep Pau Gasol. You should be confident. Very confident. You should be confident. But I can't say definitively that those moves have put the Lakers over OKC. I can't say definitively that those moves have put them over the Miami Heat. I can't say that. Will Dwight Howard, if the Lakers get to the NBA Finals, give the Miami Heat problems? Definitely. Because they struggle in terms of that. They have struggles with their size. The Heat have struggles with their size. And if you run into the Lakers in the NBA Finals, you may not be able to have Chris Bosh as a starter, as the center for your team. You might not be able to do that. So it should be interesting. And personally, I hope the Lakers get to the NBA Finals against the Miami Heat. I've always wanted to see Kobe against LeBron in the NBA Finals. Always. So personally, I hope it happens. I'm rooting for it to happen. Unless my Sixers can get to the NBA Finals, then all bets are off. I'm rooting for my Sixers, first and foremost. Andrew Bynum in the Sixers, first and foremost. Nick Young in the Sixers, first and foremost. Drew Holiday in the Sixers, first and foremost. That's where I lie. That's in terms of who I'm rooting for. That's where my allegiance lies, with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm Philadelphia through and through, baby. It is what it is. It is what it is. And let's go move to baseball now. And Steven Strasburg, we've heard so much about this in terms of his innings limit, 160, 180. and whether or not the Washington Nationals will shut him down and not pitch him in the playoffs. It's becoming very, very obvious, becoming very evident at this time that the Washington Nationals will not have Steven Strasburg in the playoffs. You get the sense at this point that they're going to go in that direction of shutting him down. And as I said last week, you know the name of this show is called Go For It. The Washington Nationals need to go for it. They need to go for it. You need to go for it. When you have an opportunity to win, you need to go for it. You have a solid lineup, you have solid pitching, and you have a phenom in Steven Strasburg. You need to go make sure that you got to make sure that he is on your roster. And I mean, the mistake that they made earlier was not limiting his innings. Maybe they didn't see the big picture at the time, but they should have been skipping his starts throughout the course of the season instead of waiting now to the end here and to shut him down for the playoffs. Life, I said this before, I'll say it again, talking about this whole situation. Life is all about opportunities. Opportunities don't come around every day. Opportunities to go to the playoffs does not come around every day. It just doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't come around every day. You don't get an opportunity every day to get to the playoffs and ultimately to get to the World Series. You don't get that opportunity. You have an opportunity now with this guy, a phenom. And again, the Nationals are preparing now to shut him down. They're preparing to shut him down. They're preparing to shut him down. And as far as I'm concerned, I think if you're the Washington Nationals, if you're watching the Nationals and you have an opportunity to get to the World Series, an opportunity to not only get to the World Series but win a World Series, you at least have the opportunity to get to the playoffs. You're definitely going to probably get there. You're probably going to get there. But you have an opportunity now with Steven Strasburg, a guy that's had a great year, a guy that's been getting it done throughout the course of this year, and you're believing that, you believe that now by shutting him down, you save the guy moving forward in terms of his career, in terms of injuring his elbow, shoulder, so on and so forth, moving forward. You save him moving forward. He is your future, but sometimes in life, the future becomes now. The future becomes now. We all set money aside for the future, but sometimes in life, because of things that happen in life, that future money becomes now. You have an opportunity to go to the World Series. You have an opportunity to go to the playoffs and be at a place where you haven't been in a long time, and that is the playoffs. A long time, a very long time. You have that opportunity. You need to take advantage of that opportunity. You need to take advantage of that opportunity. I think it's a mistake. I really do. I think it's a mistake. But the reality is the Nationals are going to do what they feel like they need to do as a franchise moving forward. It's a mistake as far as I'm concerned. It's a mistake. But it is what it is. Mike Rizzo and Davey Johnson believe that the best thing for Steven Strasburg and the best thing for his organization moving forward is to shut Steven Strasburg down. Shut him down for the season. Shut him down for the season. with the hope that he'll be good to go moving forward for years to come, and the hope that he will be your ace in the hole, your ace for years to come, the anchor of your staff for years to come. That's the hope. That's the hope. That is the hope. And in funny news, baseball news, Bartolo Colon was suspended. And this is, I mean, obviously it's not good to take any type of performance-enhancing drugs. It's not funny when guys are taking performance-enhancing drugs. But, he suspended 50 games for testosterone. And as far as I'm concerned, for taking testosterone, as far as I'm concerned, Bartolo Colon, you ever look at his body? You ever look at his body? Have you ever looked at the body of Bartolo Colon? He's been effective so far for the A's this year. He's fairly effective. He's fairly effective. But you look at him, and you're saying to yourself, Bartolo Colon, have you seen his body? Have you seen his body? Could you imagine what his body would look like if he didn't take any type of performance-enhancing drugs? Goodness gracious. You see his body. We all have seen Bartolo Colon's body. Could you imagine his body without performance-enhancing drugs? Perish the thought. I don't want to even think about it. I just threw up in my mouth just thinking about it. And Roger Clemens, speaking of throwing up in my mouth about a person or an individual, Roger Clemens, he signed with an independent Atlantic League team and will make his first start tonight. Tonight he starts. And he's starting for the minor league team tonight. And apparently, according to his agent, his fastball was timed at 87 miles per hour. He's 50. And maybe this signals a possible return to baseball for Roger Clemens. Maybe this is a start of something for Roger Clemens. The opportunity now, or the possibility, maybe Roger Clemens is making a comeback or trying to make a comeback. He did say that he's nowhere near major league ready, nor has he been training or pitching in that type of mode. That's Roger Clemens, though. I mean, I don't know if you believe it. I don't know. Some people, I mean, if you believe, he has told us that he's never taken any type of performance-enhancing drugs. I don't know. I mean, there's a mountain of evidence that would say otherwise, but somehow, some way, he got acquitted for perjury charges. Somehow, some way, I mean, as far as we're concerned, he's clean, but you know how that goes. Sort of Lance Armstrong-like, you know how that goes. Clean, as they like to say, but not clean, really. But anyway, I mean, the ESPN Classic is going to air the game. It will be aired on the ESPN Classic. Wow. Wow. And so you wonder, and Houston Astros, a team who Roger Clemens, when he retired, had a 10-year contract with, you wonder in terms of, I mean, Astros are a team that stinks, one of the worst records in baseball. You wonder the possibilities, and maybe if Roger Clemens can show something, show a pulse, or something, if he can do that, you wonder whether or not the Astros would think about it. Houston is the last place in the NL Central, the worst team in baseball. They are the worst team in baseball. 40-86. 46 games below 500. 317 winning percentage. They're bad. They are bad. Bad. So guess what? When you're bad, when your Houston Astros bad, 40-86 bad, 46 games below 500 bad, when you're that bad, guess what? Fans aren't going to come to those games unless you have a hook. Unless you have some kind of hook, some kind of thing to draw the fans. Unless you have that, fans ain't going to come. They're not going to come. They're not going to come. They're not going to come. And the Houston Astros, they're open to a return of Roger Clemens. They're open to it. And they're sending a scout to the game. And this is the quotes from Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros, as he told KRIV-TV. If it goes all right and he comes to us, we'll talk to baseball about his length. We'll talk to baseball at his length, excuse me. The only thing we don't want to do is make it a publicity stunt. If we did it, I want to try and take it and turn it into a positive, which would be Roger doing it for the good of baseball. The extra proceeds of the game might go to Astros Community Charity and possibly to Bill Fields. So he wants something positive out of it. If he's going to bring in Roger Clemens, if Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros, if he's going to bring in Roger Clemens, he's only going to do it. First of all, he doesn't want to make it a publicity stunt. And secondly, he wants the proceeds, the added proceeds of that particular game or any games to go to charity. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. But guess what? You're 46 games below 500. Anything to make a buzz is anything to make a buzz. I mean, you need some kind of buzz. You need some kind of buzz. But again, Jim Crane said it. If it goes right and he comes to us, we'll talk to baseball about it at length. The only thing we don't want to do is make it a publicity stunt. Well, we'll see. Wouldn't it be something if Roger Clemens came back? I mean, wouldn't it be something? That would be funny if he pitched in Major League Baseball again. I don't see how it could not be a publicity stunt. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if he goes out today and he looks credible, if he looks like a pitcher that can give you a few innings, then maybe you think about it. But if you're the Astros and you're an Astros fan, you have nothing to lose here. I mean, you stink. You're 40-86. You're 46 games below 500. You absolutely, positively stink. Your season is over. It's been over for a while. Your season is absolutely, positively over. It's over. So at this point, it really doesn't matter what happens. Maybe I could come out and pitch for the Houston Astros. And it wouldn't matter. You know? I could go out and pitch for the Houston Astros, and it wouldn't even matter. 46 games below 500. 46 games below 500. 46. 46 games below 500. Bringing in a Roger Clemens, I don't know how it could not be a publicity stunt. I don't know how it could not be a publicity stunt. Be something, though. It'd be pretty interesting. But he has sold out the ballpark that he's pitching in tonight. Skeeters home ballpark. The Skeeters home ballpark. 7,500 tickets and all have been sold. And it went kind of fast, 90 minutes. And a lot of T-shirts have been sold. Hey, it's good for the economy. It's good for the economy and good for that local economy. Why not? Good for that local economy. Sugar Land, Texas. Sugar Land, Texas. The Sugarland Skeeters is who he's going to pitch for tonight. The Sugarland Skeeters. Old Roger going to pitch for the Sugarland Skeeters tonight. 50-year-old Roger going to pitch for the Sugarland Skeeters tonight. But, hey, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I don't see this, how this could not be anything but a publicity stunt. 50 years, hasn't pitched in 5 years. Has not pitched in 5 years. Skeeter shirts, number 21, with Clemens on the back, is selling like hotcakes. But I don't know how this could not be a publicity stunt. I don't know how it could be anything else but a publicity stunt. I don't see how. I mean, he's 50 years old, and at this point, it's time to find something new, something different to do in life. Baseball has been very, very good to him. But at this point, you're 50 years old, dude. Play with your kids or something. Please. 50 years old. 50 years old. 50 years old. I don't know how this could not be a publicity stunt. I just don't see it. Well, I'll be watching. If I'm home and I'm near the TV, sure. Possibly. Do I care? Not really. Is this story? Yes. Do I want to tell Roger Clemens to get a life? Sure. Do I want to tell Roger Clemens to go pack his bags and go home? Definitely. Definitely. Sugarland Skeeters. That's who he's pitching for tonight. And again, the building is sold out. 7,500 seats. 7,500 seats sold. Sugarland Skeeters. Roger Clemens. Get a life, dude. Go home. Raise your kids. Get a life. Get a life. Get a life. This is a publicity stunt. I can't see how it couldn't be. Mr. Crane, owner of the Houston Astros, this is a publicity stunt. So, you can send a scout all you want down there. Then I wonder what that scout is looking for. He doesn't have to see much, really. I mean, if Roger Clemens has a pulse, he probably, maybe the Houston Astros do bring him back. Even if he has a pulse, some kind of pulse, the Houston Astros will bring him back. Why not bring him back and try to sell some tickets? And if you want to put it in the name of, all in the name of charity, sure, I'll ride with that. I'll go with that, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, charity is good. It's good to give back, good to give to the needy, the people who need it. That's always a good thing. But, I mean, this is a publicity stunt. I can't see how anybody cannot see that. He's 50 years old, for crying out loud. 50. He's 50. He hasn't pitched in 5 years. Not like Jamie Moyer. Jamie Moyer has pitched. Roger Clemens hasn't pitched in 5 years. 2007, last time he's pitched. 5 years. 50 years old. You do the math. You think what you want to think. You say what you want to say. I want to thank Eric Layden, actor Eric Layden, for stopping by. Make sure you check out his website, ericladen.com. That's L-A-D-I-N, Layden.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Eric Layden. And also, support some of the great things he has going on. He's got a baby on the way. He's got a few scripts that he's reading. So expect big things from Eric Layden. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgam, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGam. We won't be here next Saturday, Labor Day weekend, so everybody enjoy your holiday. Final weekend, unofficial weekend of the summer, so enjoy it. And again, listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgam. and follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGang. For everybody here at GoForIt, we hope you have a great weekend and a great day. See you later. Take care. Bye.